We're zooming in on behavioral economics now on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and some new research caught our eye, and that is whether there's a correlation between climate change skepticism and close gubernatorial elections. Does a politician's position on the issue of climate change influence your vote? How should our lawmakers use scientific information when adopting policy? Join in around these questions, 800-642-1234. Andrew Meyer is an economist. He's an economics professor at Marquette University studying environmental and behavioral economics. And his new study is titled Elite Influence on Climate Change Skepticism, Evidence from Close Gubernatorial Elections. And it's published in the Journal of the Association of Environmental and Resource Economists. Andrew, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Happy to be with you.
Okay, so this is a lot to get our arms around here. Political polarization around the issue of climate change that has increased. Your research points to one contributing factor. How can political leaders affect the climate change beliefs on their constituents?
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm looking at in this paper. And so I'm really interested with this research in the effects of political messaging. So if there's a skeptical political leader, do they inject skepticism into the public opinion about whether climate change is real? So I needed some data to try to answer that question. Then I guess the question is, where do we go? Where do we go to find that data? Well, the most visible politician is the president. So maybe we would start there. We would look and see what the president is saying. For example, if President Trump tweets about climate change, does that change the probability that somebody in the U.S. thinks climate change is real? But the problem is it's really difficult to determine in that context because everybody is potentially exposed to that messaging. So in the words of an experimentalist, everybody's treated. There's no control or comparison group. So what I do instead for this research is I go to the states. And at the state level, the most visible politician is probably the governor. And there's a lot of evidence out there showing that there's a big divide between the climate change positions of Democratic and Republican governors, with Republican governors typically denying or remaining silent about climate change, and Democratic governors typically accepting the science of climate change. So, for example, you know, over the period of my study, which ran from 2008 to 2015, there were really only two exceptions where Republican governors spoke out in favor of climate change policy. That was Schwarzenegger in California and Crist in Florida. So what I'm going to do with this research then is I'm going to compare climate change beliefs of people that live in states that had a Republican governor win a close election versus the climate change beliefs of people that live in states where the Democratic governor won a close election. We wouldn't want to just compare climate change beliefs of people in a very red state like Wyoming with those from people in a very blue state like New York. So what I do then is focus in on those really close elections and look at people living in those states. So look at states where the margin of victory for the governor was only a few percentage points.
Mm-hmm.
Then people living in states that went narrowly Democrat for the governor can serve basically as a control group for people living in states that went narrowly Republican. So in a sense, what I do is I take the people in states that were narrowly won by Democrats, and I use them to predict what the climate change beliefs of people in states narrowly won by Republicans would have looked like if a Democrat had won instead.
You're really layering.
It seems
like you're layering data on data and looking mm-hmm. where things line up.
Exactly. So it's like nature has given us an experiment, right? It's like the close election provides us with an experiment of a control group and a treatment group, where the treatment group is going to be the states that were won by a Democrat in the close election, and we compare that to the control group of the states where the Democrat won the close election.
We're talking with Andrew Meyer. He's a professor of economics at Marquette University studying environmental and behavioral economics. And we're looking at his new paper that is called Elite Influence on Climate Change Skepticism. Andrew, why elite influence? What do you mean there?
So this elite influence, it's really just the term that's used in the literature to denote high-level politicians, right? So when we talk about elite influence, we're really just looking at top-level political leaders and how their stated opinions, their stances could affect the climate change beliefs of the public.
So some people are skeptical about the human-caused element of climate change. What did the research show when a gubernatorial candidate was skeptical of the human part of the equation?
Right. So first, let me just start, I guess, with the base result of just in general what happens when there is a Republican that wins versus a Democrat that wins, just on the question of do you believe in climate change at all. So if you look at the question of do you believe in climate change at all, when you move from that close Democrat win to that close Republican win, there's actually quite a sharp drop in the probability of a Republican constituent believing in climate change. I don't find an effect on the probability of a Democratic constituent believing in climate change. But then when you move to your question there about the human-caused climate change, in that case, I do find an effect for both Republican and Democratic constituents. So when you move from a close Democratic governor win to a close Republican governor win, there's a drop in the probability of both Democrats and Republicans believing in climate change in those states.
Okay, so our heads are spinning right now, trying to keep up with you.
I know, it's a lot. Yeah, I've been thinking about this for 2 years, and you're trying to catch up in a few minutes, right?
How did you start to think about this? Where did this idea come from to study this?
So I've worked a lot on what drives pro-environmental behavior in general. So in other words, what makes somebody environmentally friendly or not so environmentally friendly. For example, I've looked at how education or local economic conditions impact behavior. And so the research was kind of just naturally drifting towards political influences as I read more about what other people were studying as well. And I think it's also really important for economic policy because, you know, the scientific consensus is that climate change is real. So what economists do is they take the predicted physical impacts of climate change from the scientists' models, and then they translate those into dollar amounts of damage, right? So it's clear from that economics research that climate change would impose some pretty large costs on society. Because of those large costs, it really justifies putting some sort of price on carbon to discourage fossil fuel use through either like a carbon tax or a cap and trade program. But I think that we stand a lower chance of being able to pass that type of climate change policy if political opinion remains skeptical about climate change. So I think that's really how it relates back to economic policy.
Okay, but lawmakers, they're elected to represent and advocate for issues that matter to their constituents. Could these gubernatorial candidates and governors be mirroring the skepticism that is out there among their electorate?
So that's one thing that I can never completely rule out, that there's some mirroring going on, but I think that that's a less likely explanation, and let me try to explain why. So there are several reliable predictors of climate change beliefs, including gender, education, race, age, political affiliation is a big one. Are you Democrat or Republican? And so if politicians are simply reflecting the beliefs of their states, we would expect to see a sharp change in those characteristics that I mentioned at that threshold where it changes from a close Democratic victory to a close Republican victory. Mm. I don't see any evidence of that. Everything aside from the climate change beliefs looks similar. So, you know, that kind of makes me more confident that I'm finding a more of a causal result here. That is that it's the politician leading on this issue.
Let's bring in John now, joining us from Sturgeon Bay. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. A question. I don't know how this could factor or how this may have factored into your study, but I feel like people in the Democratic Party, when they hear people in the Republican Party, maybe it's the elite like you're talking about, saying they don't believe climate change is a threat, I kind of feel like they more think that, well, they have to believe that climate change is a threat because of all the overwhelming science, but they're choosing to be a skeptic because of some sort of special interest and some sort of dollars that are coming their way because from the oil, gas, whatever it might be. So I don't know that we necessarily believe that they don't think it's real. We believe that they're choosing to put it down on their list of priorities because of other things.
John, thanks. Andrew, there are a lot of competing priorities there, a lot of influences.
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting comment, and I think that that speaks to the fact that we really need some more research here to try to understand exactly what's going on. You know, with the setup of this paper that I have, I'm not able to say exactly what the mechanism is as to how people's beliefs are changing. And this is, you know, a survey-based data set. So they're asking people, do you believe in climate change or do you not? So anything that can affect their answer to that, you know, irregardless of what's really in their mind, that's the data that I'm going to be seeing. So I think that point is a good one.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us and explaining your research.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Andrew Meyer is a professor of economics at Marquette University. Coming up, a pair of loons in northern Wisconsin recently adopted a mallard chick, and this unique relationship is capturing the hearts of bird enthusiasts. Have you seen pictures or perhaps spotted this pair of loons with their mallard chick? What are your thoughts on the relationship? Join in with your questions about loons, 800-642-1234. We'll talk more about the Loon Project after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.